singing. I tell you, that song will take the breath out of you. I did want to say something about the table. I'm so hesitant to ever say anything about the CDs on the table because I'm the world's worst salesman when it comes to myself, just simply because I would never want anybody to think I was trying to promote myself. But God has worked through our CD sales to provide all of our gas the last decade, and I'm very, very grateful for it. All the songs I've sung this week are on CDs. The song I just sang, I Will Trust You, Lord, is actually the title song on one of the CDs that I have here with me tonight. And the song I sung the other evening, I think it was Sunday, tonight's Wednesday, yes, Sunday evening, the song Send Me is on my latest CD. That's the CD your pastor was telling you about. And all CDs are just $10, and that pretty much just covers our cost these days to make them and then to have them produced. But I did want to tell you about this. People don't realize what this is, so I have to say something about it, or nobody knows that it's even there. A few days ago, some of them real techie guys in the office, you know, we have some of those techie guys in the office. They know everything about computers and all that stuff. And I praise God for them because that's not what the Lord's called me to do. So I know what I don't know. And so I'm very grateful for those guys in the office that helps us with all the techie stuff and the video stuff. Well, they told me, they said, "Preacher, you do realize that a lot of the cars people are driving today, if they're newer cars, they don't even have a CD player in them anymore." Now, that's sort of hard for me to understand because not long ago I got rid of a car that was playing a cassette. Some of y'all remember a cassette? I know some of you remember cassettes. In fact, I can tell some of you remember 8-tracks. And we'll just leave that alone right there. But they said a lot of the cars don't even have CD players. CDs are phasing out. And I said, "Okay, well, what do we do about that?" And they said, "Well, preacher, you need this. This is what everybody's going to, a little jump drive right there." And all the newer cars play the jump drives. And so what they did is they took all of the CDs that I have recorded over the course of the last almost 12 years. I've averaged about one a year for 12 years. And they put 12 CDs. We call it the Lifetime Music Collection. And on that little jump drive right there, there are 12 CDs, full-length recordings. That's over 120 songs. And that's 12 CDs for the price of about 7 CDs. And again, that pretty much just covers our cost. And I tell about that because people don't know that's there if I don't. And so if you pick up the music after the service, I hope and pray it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. I can't even begin to tell you what these days have meant to me. I really mean that, Pastor. Thank you so much for your kind invitation to be here during this week. And I realize I've said this several times throughout the course of these days together, but I hope you never take for granted the precious pastor and the precious pastor's wife that God has sent you. You remember the other evening I told you that I currently have 4 supporting churches that are without pastors? Well, now I'm going to have to start saying 5 because on my way home just the other evening, one of my supporting pastors called me to let me know he was leaving the church. So before long, I'm going to be able to say I've got 5 supporting churches that would love for me to tell them about somebody like Brother Robbie and Miss Sharon. So please, please, love on your preacher. Take care of your man of God. And listen, the Lord will bless you as you follow His faith. The Lord will bless you. Now, in the days to come, He's going to challenge you to get closer to the Lord. Any pastor worth the salt in his bread is going to challenge you to grow and to mature in your Christian life. Don't buck against that. Man, embrace that. Follow his faith, and I assure you, he will lead you to greener pastures as the Lord leads him. So I love him. I appreciate him. He sure has been good to me this week. He took me to the cattleman's is the cattleman's restaurant. Boy, that it was worth the price of admission for the salad bar. And the food was good. The fellowship was even better. And I'm already looking forward to the day. I hope that he'll ask me to come back and we can get something on the calendar. I can't wait to come back the next time and see what God is doing here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. So if you found your place in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and if you're able, would you please stand tonight? Here in this chapter that we're getting ready to read together, Paul begins to hold the Corinthians accountable for their carnality. According to the text we're getting ready to read together tonight, we're going to see firsthand. Paul could not speak to the Corinthians on a high spiritual plane, but he speaks to them as nothing more than babes in Christ. They were spiritually immature. And of course, the Bible goes to great lengths to teach us that their spiritual maturity manifested itself in several ways within the church, one of which can be seen in verses 3 through 9. According to the text that we're getting ready to read together tonight, some of these carnal Corinthians were placing much more emphasis on ministers than they were the master. So let's see what Paul has to say about that. I tell you what, let's begin reading in verse number 3. Paul writes, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Now I'd like to back up and read those first few words of verse number 9 again, and use those first few words as the title of the message for the hour tonight. Paul writes in the first portion of verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God." Would you read that much of verse number 9 with me tonight? Let's read those words together, shall we? "For we are laborers together with God." Father, take the Word of God tonight and please do more than just challenge us. I pray, my Father, that you would change us, that we may be more like Thee. And I'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing.
"I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Everyone doesn't do the same thing, but everyone does something. Notice God doesn't plant, God doesn't water, God gives the increase. So there's a cooperation here. God does some and God's people do something. "For we are laborers together." We are laborers together with God. And this is really incredible. This is really incredible. God has not asked us to work for Him without Him. He has asked us to work with Him. God Himself, the Bible says, God Himself is laboring together with us. We are laboring together with God. Isn't that an amazing thing? to be involved in a work that God is involved in. We're not doing something for God. That would be great, but it's better than that. We're doing something with God. I'm not working for God. I'm working with God. I'm not doing a work that I hope God comes and joins. God's doing a work that He's allowed me to come and join.
Next tonight, for we are laborers together with God. I've always found it interesting while studying the verses of Scripture we're considering tonight that here within the text, Paul uses the analogy of men working together in a field in order to establish a very profound truth within the minds of these carnal Corinthians. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that God uses men. God uses people working together, laboring together in order to accomplish His will on this earth. Can you imagine that? I'm talking about the thrice holy God of glory. According to the Bible, He works with us. God has voluntarily linked Himself with our human cooperation. Wow, that's a mind-blowing scriptural truth. The fact that God uses us. A wise man once said on one occasion, "Without God, we cannot. But without us, God will not." God could have chosen any number of ways to carry out His will on this earth. But the Bible is abundantly clear. He chooses to use each of us. He, of course, supervises the work. He leads, guides, and directs us in doing His will. He certainly supplies the things that we need to do it, but He uses us, each and every one of us, to accomplish the task that He has set before us to do. That is exactly why the enemy will do anything he possibly can do to cause division and discord among those of us that are laboring in the field for God's glory. If he can do so effectively, then God's work is ultimately hindered. Souls will perish and lives will remain unchanged. It is for that reason tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you and I alike should always strive to keep the truths that Paul is conveying here in the text before us ever fresh in our minds. For we are laborers together with God. Now, I believe when you look into verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll discover the text speaks to us about three things. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 speaks to us about the labor. It reminds us there is a work to be done for God's honor and God's glory. I'm afraid when I look in Christianity today, many of God's children are playing when we should be laboring. Do you know what it takes to reach the world with the gospel? I'll tell you what it takes, friend. It takes a whole lot of work. A whole lot of work. Do you know what it takes to build a wonderful local Bible-believing church? To build a Sunday school class? To build a bus route? To have a ministry within that local church? It takes work. And therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, every time we read this text, we are reminded there is a work to be done for Christ. Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 9 and verse 4? Jesus stressed the necessity of the work when He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Whatever it is you're going to do for Jesus, listen to me, you best get busy doing it, because it really is, as our Savior said, the night is quickly coming when no man can work. And therefore, it would behoove us to consider with fond attention what Paul is saying here in the text before us, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 reminds us about the labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9 not only reminds us about the labor, but it reminds us about the laborers. For we are what? Laborers together. For we are laborers together. Now, certainly we need the Lord, but I got news for you. If you haven't figured it out, if we're going to accomplish anything of lasting value for God's glory, we need each other as well. And please allow me to remind you tonight, God designed His work that way. It is God's will for us to labor together. Paul realized that fact, and therefore, according to the text, he did not see Apollos as a problem. He saw Apollos as a partner. He did not see and regard Apollos as competition. Quite the contrary. He regarded Apollos as a co-laborer. Paul realized he needed Apollos, and Apollos needed Paul. And ladies and gentlemen, just as Paul and Apollos needed each other, so do we. Now, of course, I'm not talking about linking up with unbelievers or Bible deniers. You know me better than that. But I'll tell you one thing tonight. Every single one of us here this evening at the Lighthouse Baptist Church of Taylorsville, Kentucky, we need each other. We do. We need each other. And so we ought to be reminded of that need tonight as we consider 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Do you remember the part of that video where those three fellas were preaching? You remember that? That was in Burkina Faso in Africa. That is a country in Africa. And Cassie and I were blessed to fly to Burkina Faso last year, and we were there at that same place. And I preached just like those three men preached in that video while I was there. In fact, we were gone about 18 days, and I preached 18 times when we were gone to Burkina Faso. We left Burkina and flew into Ghana and visited four different missionary families while we were there. But in that little video that you just saw, standing on one end, there was a preacher friend of mine. His name is Mark Stroud. He pastors the Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia, just down the road from where I'm blessed to live. Well, Brother Mark was there as a supporting pastor for our Macedonia missionary who was standing in the center of that trio of preachers, Keith Shoemaker. Brother Shoemaker has been in Burkina Faso now for over two decades. He has planted multiple churches, has led multiple people to the Lord there in Burkina Faso. As Brother Stroud preached in English, Brother Shoemaker translated in French. But if you'll notice, there was a fella down on the other end. That fella on this end, he was a national pastor. Brother Shoemaker planted a church there, trained that young man. And that young man on the far end is the pastor of one of the churches that Brother Keith was led of the Lord to start there in Burkina Faso. Now imagine this tonight. We look at that video and we don't often think of the people that you don't see in the video that caused that message that night to be preached. First of all, Brother Mark Stroud wouldn't have been there had it not been for the support of his faithful church members at Wahoo Baptist Church. Secondly, Keith Shoemaker would not be there had it not been for his supporting churches and supporting pastors like Brother Stroud. Keith Shoemaker would tell you he would not be standing in the middle of that trio of preachers without those ladies at the end of the hall at Macedonia World Baptist Missions that send him and his family their support every month. That fella down on this end, the national pastor, he certainly wouldn't have been there if people would not have prayed and given by faith over and above their regular tithes and offerings through the ministry of Keith Shoemaker, so he could hear the gospel, he could trust Christ, he could go to Bible college, and then stand up there and preach like those three men were preaching that night. Now think of it. Because those three men saw the need to labor together that night, every single individual in that open air meeting left having heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of churches just like Lighthouse Baptist Church that give regularly to support ministries like Brother Shoemaker's, he was able to stand there and preach the Word of God. It takes us laboring together. It takes you giving. It takes you praying. It takes the missionary going. It takes us all doing what God lays on our heart to do in order for the world to hear the gospel. And 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 reminds us of that as it reminds us about the laborers. I don't know if you've ever preached with an interpreter before, but I have a hard go of it preaching with one interpreter. Brother, you haven't lived until you preach with two. Listen, by the time I said something, by the time it got back around to me to speak again, I'd already forgotten what I said the first time. It takes laboring together. And 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 reminds us about not only the labor, but the laborers. But then 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 reminds us about the Lord. Paul reminds us in the text that we are laborers together. And I love the emphasis the video places upon the two words in the text, with God. Those two words, with God, assures you and me tonight, we are not the only ones working. Oh yes, God expects us to do our part, and therefore we should. But here in the text tonight, God reminds us through the pen of the Apostle Paul, if we would see the need to work together, He would work with us. Now you talk about an unbeatable combination of laborers. When you get hooked up with me and when I get hooked up with you and when God gets hooked up with us, oh man, we can get something done for God. Now while I was preparing this message, I asked the Lord, Lord, I want to use those three thoughts, 1 Corinthians 3, 9, how it reminds us about the labor, how it reminds us about the laborers, how it reminds us about the Lord. But Lord, in closing, can you give me a Bible example of people working together to make a difference in the lives of others? So I want to give you right quickly, before we dismiss tonight, what God gave me. I want you to turn, if you would please, to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But, and can I stop right there long enough to say, whenever great things are happening, you can always count on the devil's crowd butting in. But, verse 6, there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, verse 12 says, he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, notice what they said. We've never saw it on this fashion. Here in Mark chapter 2, we actually gather several truths that are worthy of our consideration. First of all, there's a great message here concerning the Master. We see His preaching, verse 2. We see His power, verse 3, 4, and 5. And then, of course, we see the proof in verses 10, 11, and 12, because when Jesus commanded the man, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house, the Master proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that it really was who He claimed to be. Yes, there's some great truths here concerning the Master. But in what few moments we have left, I want to call your attention to several truths about these men. According to the Bible, these men were laborers together. First of all, notice the foresight of their laboring together. According to the text, these men were men of vision. They were men of faith. And that vision, that faith, gave them the unique ability to look beyond what their paralyzed friend was and see what their friend could be, having experienced the touch of the Master's hand. And I know if we look through our human eyes, when we see the world, we see a world lost and undone without Christ. We see a world that has been paralyzed by sin. But if we would but open our eyes of faith, God would let us to see with faith eyes what the world could be, having experienced the saving power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what Lighthouse Baptist Church needs? Lighthouse Baptist Church needs members that are members of vision and faith, the foresight of their laboring together. The text teaches us, secondly, about the focus of their laboring together. Please allow me to remind you tonight, recognition wasn't their focus. Their names were never mentioned in the Bible. Their focus wasn't pats on the back. Their focus wasn't plaques on the wall. Their focus wasn't even paychecks in their pocket. Their focus was getting their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They did not possess within themselves the power to change his life, but they knew one that did, and they were laser focused on the Lord. I do not have the power to change the people of the Yucatan Peninsula's lives. Neither does Brother Jonathan or his family. But as they look to the Lord, as they turn their eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, God will give them what they need to point those people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus of their laboring together. It doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter what is posted about you. Somebody asked me just a few days ago, preacher, did you hear what somebody said about you? And I said, nope, nope, and I'm not interested in hearing it. Can I tell you why I'm not interested? Too much work to do, buddy. Too many churches to plant. Too many missionaries need to get to the field. Too many offerings need to be given. I'm not interested. Preacher, don't you think you ought to respond? Can I just say it and be real nice? It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I respond. You know why? Ain't got time for it. I'm going to stay focused on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. I've never been discouraged looking to the Lord. I've never been defeated looking to the Lord. If you're discouraged, if you're defeated, if I'm ready to quit serving God, I guarantee you it is ultimately the result of taking our eyes off of Jesus and fixing them on someone or something else. We need to stay focused. The focus of their laboring together. Have you ever considered the fortitude of their laboring together? Wow. These men had to labor. They had a task ahead of them that would not be easy. The Bible goes to great lengths to teach us. They had to press through the throng of people that was there that day. They had to lift the man up to the roof. They had to break the roof up. They had to let the man down. I believe they were men of character. And so if they were men of the character, after Jesus healed that old boy, I believe they got back up on the roof and fixed it all back better than it was before. I'm just saying, they had to be men of fortitude. And can I encourage you as I leave tonight? Get in here. Stay with it. Work hard. Follow the faith of your preacher. Give. Go. Work. Labor. You've got a lot of great opportunities. Brother was just telling me, telling the whole church just a while ago about the soul winning opportunities. Man, take advantage of that. That gives you an opportunity to have a better judgment seat that I preached about this past Sunday night. You're going to have to be men and women of fortitude. If you're going to stay with it, if you're going to build this church, if you're going to reach Taylorsville, Kentucky with the gospel of Christ, you're going to have to be men and women of fortitude. The fortitude of their laboring together. Then what about the faith of their laboring together? We see that in verse 5. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, they had the kind of faith that could be seen in their actions. They were not only hearers of the Word, they were doers of the Word. Later on in the New Testament, the half-brother of Jesus would champion this kind of faith, as James would be the one the Holy Ghost would use to pin the words, faith without works is what? Dead. I like the way William Booth put it on one occasion. William Booth said, faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith, and then works, and then faith again, and then works again, until one can scarcely distinguish which is one and which is the other. These men in the text did much more. They did much more than just talk the talk of faith, brother, they walked the walk of faith. The faith of their laboring together. And finally tonight, we see the fruit of their laboring together. And of course, as we consider the fruit of their laboring together, the Bible reminds us that these men made a difference, does it not? The Lord, according to the text, not only saw these men's faith, but verse 5 teaches us that he also forgave the palsied man of his sin. And then he went on to tell him, according to verse 11, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, verse 12 says, he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, notice what they said, we never saw it on this fashion. And of course, when we read those words, we never saw it on this fashion, immediately we just assume that the Bible is speaking of the reaction of the crowd once they saw the palsied man's healing. And please don't misunderstand, I believe that was a part of the reason why they said, we never saw it on this fashion. But I do not for one moment believe that it was the only reason the crowd said, we never saw it on this fashion. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe when the crowd saw those four men working together. I mean, think about it. They didn't argue about who was going to be in the front, who was going to bring up the rear, be in the back. They didn't argue about that. You know, it could be that One of them was a sports fan of this team, while the one right beside of him was a sports fan of another team. But isn't it amazing? They set those things aside and focused on the most important thing, and that's getting their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Now, I'm not gonna compromise the clear teachings of this Bible. Never. By the good grace of God, never. If this book says it's right, then it's right. I'm not going to argue with you. This book is always right. If this book says it's wrong, then it's wrong. And by the way, if it was wrong 30 years ago, it's still wrong today. If this book says it's wrong, then you can take it to the bank. It's wrong. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to let the color of the carpet keep me from getting my paralyzed friend to Jesus. I'm not going to argue about, well, are we going to have chicken tonight? Are we going to have ham tonight? Keep me from getting my paralyzed friend to Jesus. Amen? Those four men had to work together. They had to labor together. They had to coexist. They had to be co-laborers. They had to do it together. You see, your pastor has a burden to reach the world with the gospel. But he can't do it alone. Oh, he can make some difference. But he can't make near as much difference without your help. And without your help. I was so thrilled when the pastor just a few moments ago said, "Does anybody need a faith promise card?" And that young man back there in the back slipped his hand up. You know why? Because it takes his quarter a week. It takes his dollar a month, just like it takes your $100 a month to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. You see, my faith promise missions offering, yes, it will make some difference, but it will not make much difference if we don't give it together. We need each other. We are laborers together. Look, you need me, and I need you. You need your pastor, and your pastor needs you. You need him, and you need him. And you need her, and she needs her. Are you getting the picture? We need each other. And as we labor together to make a difference in the world, God works with us. Now, I'm not going to stop saying I work for God. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But I think it's important to note, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, it's better than just working for God. The video made that clear. We're working with God. As you and I see the need to labor together, God has given us His Word. He's pleased with that. And He'll come alongside and He will work with us as well. For we are laborers together with God. Would you say those words with me again? Say them with me, if you would please. For we are laborers together with God. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me tonight? Oh, Father, thank you so much for leading in this direction tonight. Honestly, I could not think of a better way to close out this wonderful series of meetings this week other than with this Bible thought. Lord, each and every one of us from the pulpit to the last pew in the building needed to be reminded tonight that we are laborers together with God. So, Father, this evening, would you help each and every one of us make a brand new commitment to doing our part, to pulling our fair share of the load for your glory, for your honor, knowing, Lord, that when we labored together, you have given us your word that you will labor with us. Thank you for what you're going to do at the Lighthouse Baptist Church of Taylorsville, Kentucky in the days to come. Lord, I am firmly persuaded. Lord, I've been here this week. I've spent quality time with this dear pastor and his wife. I have seen what you're doing firsthand here. I have tried to get at least a portion of the vision that you have given this man of God here. And I am absolutely persuaded to believe that the greatest days of ministry for Lighthouse Baptist Church are still to come. But Lord, if that's the case, we're all going to have to be more than just hearers of this message tonight. We're going to have to be doers. So, Father, maybe some of us in this building this evening need to walk an aisle, find a place in this old-fashioned altar, and make a new commitment to being a laborer in the field of the world for your glory. Lord, I pray you give the pastor wisdom. I pray you give him discernment now as he comes to extend the invitation. And I'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name, I pray, Pastor.
All stand, head bows, eyes are closed. Brother Derek's going to lead us the invitation. The altar is open if you'd like to come. If the Lord's laid on something on your heart to pray about, altar is open. Brother Derek.